Trevor, would you come up and read our psalm today and open us up in prayer?
Psalm 9. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exalt you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and they perish before your presence. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne of justice. And he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. The Lord is the stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the people his deeds. For he who avenges blood is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me. O you who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may recount all your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I may rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk into the pit that they have made. In the net they have hid, their own foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. The wicked shall return to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations be known that they are but men. Lord, I thank you for this day that we can come before you. I just thank you for the opportunity that we just have to worship you now. I pray, God, that you just prepare our hearts so that as we enter into this time where we're going to sing, and into this time where we're going to hear from your word, God, and then fellowship afterwards, we would just recount all the good that you've done for us and your righteousness and goodness. And although we see hurt and pain and just sin in the world right now, that you will make that right one day and that you're patient with us right now, but that we can just trust that you will bring about the justice, that you sit on your throne of justice, God, but also in love that you've extended out your mercy to us so that we don't have to stand under that judgment, God, but that you've redeemed us from our sins. So we thank you for that, Lord, and I just pray that as we dwell on the work that you've done for us and your faithfulness, that we could just praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today we're going to talk about going through some stuff. Talking about trials and tests. Sometimes those are longer trials, harder tests. They come in many different shapes and sizes and forms. Sometimes the trials can be playing a game of Monopoly as a family and trying to get along afterwards without tipping the table over or throwing stuff. Trials and tests. Today we're going to be in the book of James, chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 2 through 4. 2 through 4 today. And it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Now, I like the way James starts off this letter. Right after his greeting, he gives this sense of encouragement, encouraging these people. And what he did in here is he answered a question without asking a question. He answers the question, why does God allow difficulty into our lives? And how should the believer respond to the difficulty or trial? We will look at those today. Before we do that, let's find out who he's talking to when he says, my brothers. Because he says, count it all joy, my brothers. Now, some would argue to say that he is talking to the entire Christian community. I don't think that is correct. He is talking to the Jews who are in Christ. He's talking to the Jewish Christians. He's giving them this advice. Because he was strictly talking to the Jews in his introduction of that time and place. Now we need to keep that in our minds as we continue to go through this letter on who he's talking to. But we can still benefit from it. Now he tells the Jews to count it all joy when they meet trials of various kinds. Now I like this. The key word that reminds me of me some days. Anyways, that's the key word is when, not if. When they encounter. Because guess what? It's gonna happen. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, guess what? Trials are gonna come your way. Your faith is going to be tested. I was thinking about that this week. I can't remember what movie that was in, but it's not if you get hurt, it's when you get hurt. That might have been 8 seconds. He said that on, and I remember that one time I was speaking of that in high school. I had this wild idea of being a bull rider. I'm short. And I don't like horses because they jump too high. I'm afraid of heights. I don't want to fall from that far. So I practiced with a few of the guys. And how can you get hurt practicing? You know, you got the barrel, you got it tied off between four posts, and you got four of your best buddies over there shaking the post, shaking the ropes, right? Nothing could go wrong. You're not going to get hurt doing that. Anyways, it was my turn. I got on there. I hung on for a lot of time. And I did what wasn't the smartest thing to do. I don't know why I did this, but I wrapped my rope around every finger. So it takes a while to take that rope off of there, okay? It takes a while, so you're on there a little bit longer. Anyways, I dismounted as I was coming up. And it projected me straight up in the air. And I noticed I was falling down on my back. And what happened was the back of my leg caught the cable on my way down. And I laid there for a second, of course not showing emotion because I are a cowboy. I was tough. And it didn't hurt. But that's the thing. It's when it comes across. It's going to happen. Things are going to come across your way to where you have to be prepared for it. And sometimes we can't prepare for it. But anyway, this word trial, I like this word trial in here. In other contexts, it does mean a leading into evil or temptation. That's not the case here, though. The people James was writing to were undergoing trials in the permissive will of God to prove the genuineness of their faith, according to Richardson. See, trials are going to come to those who follow Christ. And that's going to, and as you go through these trials, God is going to allow these certain things to happen to you. What he's doing is he's testing your faith. He's testing if you are a true believer. He's going to allow you to go through the ringer to test your faith. Are you going to come out holding on to your faith and what you truly believe in? Or are you going to denounce your faith? Because you went through this hardship. You couldn't take it anymore. Well, fine then, I'm done with the faith. Or are you going to hold on strong? Now, those who denounce their faith, say, I no longer follow Christ. I do not believe that they had a saving faith. It was a superficial faith. The scripture is very clear on insecurity of salvation. Because God is working in you. He has called you. He has adopted you. Nothing can take you away from him. So those that are in Christ are going to go through those trials, and they're still going to have their faith. They're still going to have it. And it's going to be known by those around on what somebody truly believes. See, all the disciples had a great time when they were followers, right? Easy street, right? They followed Jesus. It was great, right? No. No. They all faced trials. They all had troubles when they followed Christ. Jesus says in Matthew 10:28, it says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." I like that. There are those that could come along and kill. There are those who murder the believer just for their faith. There are those who are going to cause all kinds of problems in the believer's life. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. There is going to be pain in life. There's going to be suffering for the gospel. And you could die for the gospel. Matthew 5:10 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Those who are true believers, those who follow Christ, good news, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be tested. Your faith is going to be tested. Now, my question as I was studying this is what kind of trials were the Jews facing at this time? Like, what were they going through? It doesn't tell us. I've researched and researched and couldn't find where there was hard evidence on it. There was some speculation on what they were going through, but James left it wide open. Now, when we think about it, now we can always kind of speculate on small things like this. When we look at it, these Jews were not in their homeland. They were out in the nations. They were around the Gentiles. So they had these other neighbors they had to get along with. These other neighbors had their own religious things, practices that they followed. And with them being outside of Israel, it could have been money, could have been an issue as well. Relationship issues, all kinds of them. See, I believe that James didn't really specify because he wanted the people to think about it. What am I facing? I'm facing trials. And so he just left it wide open because you can't just narrow that down. There's all kinds of things that we go through. So that's why I believe he just left it so vague. Now, when people go through these trials, consider it or count it all joy. This joy is the same word that is used in the fruit of the Spirit. It is from the Greek word chara, and it means gladness or reason for gladness. And for those of you who listen to the fruit of the Spirit on joy, we're not going to take a whole Sunday to do that. I'm going to sum it up for you. This joy is unique to the believer in Christ. It does not mean pleasure for believers. It is not found in the moment. It's not an emotional state. Ooh, yay, I'm happy. It's joyful. No. Joy is one's heart's content upon Christ. Joy is based off of value, not feeling. For the believer, it's a mindset. It is knowing that, yes, I'm going through this trial, but I know that Jesus is in control. I know that God is watching over me. I know God is with me. He's allowing me to go through this. And in the end, Jesus is going to win. I'll be suffering on this earth, but guess what? It's temporary. It's temporary. God's got a plan for me. Now, the reason that the people were considerate the various trials joy is because it was God's way of working through them. God's allowing me to go through this. God is still with me. I should be joyful for that because he's using these to shape and to grow me. God is allowing bad things to happen, trials and temptations to come their way so they could endure. Now, I believe that a person does not grow if they're not being challenged. If you're not being challenged in your faith, what are you going to do? You're going to get really comfortable. You're going to just kind of sit back and cruise. When you get really comfortable, does your prayer life kick up at all? Does your Bible reading kick up at all? Or are you just kind of skating on down? See, these trials bring us back to God sometimes. Sometimes we need that. We need a little bit of good reality check on who we really follow sometimes. So God allows that to happen. See, when you're not being challenged or stretched, you lose focus. And through Scripture, God uses trials in the lives of the believers just to bring them back, just to bring them back to Him. When one goes through when one takes a test or going through a testing time, they're finding out what they believe in, what they hold strong to. And I don't like that word test. I really don't. Because it always brings us back to high school. I didn't test well in high school, and that followed me through college. I didn't test well in college until I seen a counselor says, I knew my stuff, but when I took the test, I was happy to get a D+. Yes, I passed it. It's done. I was diagnosed with a test anxiety. That word just kind of got to me. And after I figured out what it was and figured out, hey, what's there to worry about? Just do it. Just go through. And that was a tough time in my life because I was doing so much other stuff and here to find out that, hey, Justin, you don't test very well. But I like writing papers. Those are fun to write. And it's just something that God allowed me to go through, to push through this, to shape me who I am today. He's continuing to do that. See, I know I should not stress, and I have Christ to focus on, and He helps me through that. So James is telling the people that there's a reason for the testing. And that is for growth. That is for growth. And of course, God shaping His people. Through the testing of faith produces steadfastness, or other translations say endurance. The steadfastness is the ability to stand strong in the faith, being able to absorb the harshness around. Now God is allowing some people to go through trials, so they can be made stronger in their faith. They won't be shaken near as bad. When they are going through trials, they consider it joy because God is equipping His people for the future. Now, there are some things that a new believer will experience on his level. See, God won't give you any more than you can handle. He still gives you a way out, too. Won't give you any. He won't put the same pressure on a mature believer as He does a new believer. And perseverance is only the beginning. There's more benefits to the trials that people will face. Perseverance must finish the work in which it started. The result of one's faith being tested produces endurance. Along with that, endurance must be allowed to continually work to produce the results of maturity. This is the goal of the believer, and James is teaching this. He's saying that the believer's faith will be tested and will continue to be tested until perfected. And through this book, we're going to look at James is telling the people what a mature Christian looks like. You're going to go through some stuff. But here later on is what the mature Christian is going to look like. And it's a great reminder for us that we as believers will face trials, and your faith will be tested. Now, the question I have for you this morning, are you prepared for the testing? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Or it's happening. Or it's happened. What have you done to prepare? We prepare for disasters. Some have insurance. Some have extra food. Some have lots of money in bunkers to prepare for a zombie apocalypse. And all kinds of stuff that goes along with that. They prepare for emergencies. See, we never know when a disaster strikes. But we can prepare when it comes to material possessions sometimes. There are some times that people come in and do evil deeds and you're caught off guard. How do you prepare for that? All these things we think about, but are you prepared for the trials coming? Is your heart prepared for the persecution that's coming? Can you stand strong on God's word and truly believe that all will be according to His plan, or are you doubting it? True joy comes from true faith. The fruit of the Spirit, it will be revealed. We have our responsibility to focus on Christ and allow the Spirit to work through us, to bring forth that joy that's going to happen. Knowing and believing that God is in control of everything and we are in His plans. And when we're going through these trials, number one thing I'm going to tell you to do, go to God. Go to God very first. If you're faced with a hard situation, get down on your knees and pray. It's not what we do sometimes. We have people that like to go to the world and seek answers. We like to tune into other things other than Christ. That must not be our attitude. Seek Him very first. Turn to Him. Get on your knees. And in His Word. To prepare. Kind of very simple, isn't it? Be in God's Word. Be in communication. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean you're going to be happy about it emotionally. It's going to hurt. You're going to get owies. You're going to get your feelers hurt. You could have physical pain. Be prepared for it. Be prepared. I can't tell you how important it is to seek Christ every day. Every day. Don't just do it on Sunday. Don't do it on Bible study days. Seek Christ every day. Be in His Word every day. I keep challenging people, be in His Word. Read this little part of Scripture every day. You don't have to spend 23 hours reading. But make time. Make time. Be in His Word and talk to Him. That way when you go through these trials, you can come out clean. Come up clean. Still holding on to that faith. Need to hang on to it. And through the reading of Scripture, you can then make faith your own. That is very important. Make your faith your own. Don't rely on what somebody else tells you about Scripture. Don't rely on great-great-grandma's word on what she interpreted Scripture as. People will quote relatives. Well, this is what the Bible says according to mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. What does it say? Literally, what does it say? Go to it. The Bereans even challenged Paul on his teaching. They didn't take his word for it. They said, let us search the scriptures. That is what you are to be doing, searching out the scriptures for the answers. Now, there are some good teachers out there, but you have to know what the Bible says. You can't just take somebody's word for it. It's dangerous. It's getting worse as time goes on. People are telling people what they want to hear. What they want to hear, what they need to hear. They're tickling ears anymore. Truth isn't being taught in some places. See, and the thing that breaks my heart is some will compromise God's truth to fill their own agenda. And where do you stand? Are you strong in your faith to where you can see through that? Do you know what the Word of God says? Because what's going to happen is these guys are going to quote some reading. Or they're going to take a Bible passage out of context. Are you prepared for that? There are many examples that I can give you. You know, we're prepared for the worldly things, right? For the most part. But get ready for the testing of your faith. Get ready for the testing of your faith. Because it's going to happen. Philippians 1:12, there it is. Philippians 1:12. It says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers have become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak word without fear. For some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others do it from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, and not sincerely, but thinking to afflict in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Paul is talking about rejoicing. This prison isn't what we have today. As I was looking at this, he was in the stocks. Most people think that his legs were shackled between boards and they were spread out kind of like a wishbone, stretching him out. And same with the arms. Torture. He's in there for proclaiming the gospel message. He's joyful. Not because he's in there. He's joyful because of the results. He's being tested. How is he going to respond? He says, some of these guys are doing it because they have a love for the Lord. Others are doing it because they don't like me. But guess what? The gospel's being preached. And he will rejoice. And he will rejoice. Imagine standing that strong in your faith. You're being tortured. And you're saying, I'm going to rejoice because of what the Lord is doing. I'm in this prison where nobody takes care of me. To where it's just unsanitary. There's no hand sanitizer anywhere. Dirt floor, bugs, unspeakable stuff. But rejoice because the gospel's being proclaimed. That's the joy, people. That's the joy you're to have when you're going through trials and temptations and the testing of your faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for for your word. We thank you that you told us like it is, that we will be persecuted, but you gave us a way on how to work through it. You gave us hope. You gave us a Savior. You give us eternity with you. For those that love you and trust you as their personal Savior, we can spend eternity with you. This life is temporary here. You are forever. And we can spend that eternity with you because of what you have done. Our joy comes from you. Our joy comes from your work on the cross, knowing that you took our punishment and paid for our sins. And we can focus on you. And through that, we have joy and we can hold on to our faith because of what you have done. You have sealed us. You have secured us. And we come before you and we say thank you for what you have done on the cross. That you defeated death by rising from the grave. That you were seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, I ask that you guide us. Some of us are going through trials right now. Some of us are going through the mud right now. Some of us feel like we're getting dragged along in it. Lord, draw near to them. Help them see you. Help them see your glory. That gives us a little bit extra effort. That gives us a little bit to fight with. And we thank you that you're with us, that you guide us, and you won't give us any more than we can handle. Guide us as we serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Matthew 10, verses 16 and 17. This is Jesus speaking. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. Have a blessed day.